The Steve Gruber Show. And yes, he does think he's smarter than his boss. Here's Steve.
Cause in the wind, he's still alive. Old Fred Bear, walk with me down the trails again. Take me back.
Welcome back to it. Ted Nugent on the program here. Thursday of last week, I guess it was. You can always go find that at stevegruber.com along with all the programs and all the interviews, the podcasts available going back years. stevegruber.com. And the reason I mentioned that, though, is our next guest, Chad Stewart, is the deer specialist for the Michigan DNR. And some disagreement between the DNR and Ted Nugent, who gets a lot of press, if you haven't noticed. Chad, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve.
Of course, the concerns all circulate and rotate around chronic wasting disease discovered here a few years ago and now identified in a few other places. Let's start there. Let's get an update on the CWD challenges we face and where we are.
So our first case of CWD was identified in Ingham County back in 2015. Since then, we've been looking and trying to understand the scale of the disease on the landscape, and we've tested about 60,000 deer in Michigan since that time, and we've identified 119 positive animals. Most of them are in that Montcalm and Northeast Kent County area.
So, you know, compared to other states in 119 cases, not exactly a runaway problem in Michigan at this point. Other states have had many more deer identified. What is the practice? I realized last year during hunting season that I don't believe it's mandatory for me to check my deer anymore. I believe it's voluntary. I did every deer that I took last year. I had, you know, wrapped the head up and sent it off for testing with a number. But is it no longer mandatory for these deer to be tested, or where are we?
Yeah, it's no longer mandatory. But still, last year we tested 30,000 deer. So there's still a lot of interest from hunters in getting their deer tested and knowledge about the disease, especially if they're going to consume it. And even though there's no proven link between that disease and any sort of human cases, people want to know if they're eating a healthy deer or a deer that has the disease. And we basically are leaving that decision now up to the hunters and whether or not they want to get their deer tested.
Right. So there's a lot of argument, and I'll get to the grant that we're going to talk about in a moment. But first, the argument that Nugent's putting forth about baiting and so forth, he says is absolutely ridiculous because deer, you know, they have licking branches, they have scrapes, they have rubs, they have all sorts of places that they communicate and congregate, I guess, together. And that banning baiting is kind of a pointless effort that punishes hunters for something that won't change anything. Your thought?
Yeah, and, you know, deer are obviously social animals, and we know that if one animal has the disease, if it's living in close proximity with another animal, there's a really good chance that deer is going to get the disease as well. Having a baiting ban is not going to stop CWD, but it can make it worse. So when you put bait on the landscape, you're drawing a lot more animals, a lot different, more social groups into an area, and you're forcing those interactions to happen at a higher rate. So you can make things worse by having bait on the
I don't think you can convince Ted of that, but I suppose that's an argument you can have on the side with him. And I think there's a lot of people that don't agree with the baiting ban, and they think that it's going to diminish the number of deer that are taken. I don't know if that's true in the end or not, but that is the argument, right?
Yeah, no, we've heard all the arguments. We know that there's obviously a lot of social and cultural tied into baiting. You know, people have been doing that for a long time, and we certainly took that into account when we made those recommendations last year. But ultimately, we fell in what we felt was a strong science, and there are several different peer-reviewed pieces of literature and studies that have been done that show transmissible diseases can occur at bait sites. So we relied on that when we made our recommendations.
All right, so let's talk now about this, the DNR grant targeting deer disease before disease targets us is one of the headlines I found. Do tell, what is this about?
Yeah, so last year we had some appropriations from our state legislature to provide some money for research funding, and we know that this is now turning into a national problem. More states have CWD than not, in some sort of deer or elk herd, including a couple of provinces. And we are committed to finding solutions. So part of that is funding research. And we were fortunate to have $4.7 million appropriated to us to distribute through either assisting management or extension and communications or funding research that will either promote understanding of the disease dynamics and transmission or something that would benefit any sort of management of the disease. So this is our call out for help from national experts to partner with people in state and try to advance the knowledge of CWD.
All right, so let me ask you about this because there is a some stuff going around on the internet that a cure has been found. A guy that's been studying CWD for 30 years went to the Pennsylvania State Wildlife Commission, said, "I've got a cure. We can stop this from happening." He claims that CWD is not the disease, but a byproduct of an illness triggered, I believe, by bacteria, is what he argues. Any feedback on that? Because a lot of people have been talking about that.
Yeah, and it's important to note that he was supported by a sportsman's group in Pennsylvania, the Unified Sportsmen's of Pennsylvania, I believe. It wasn't a view that was supported by their game commission. I would say that that's a minority view among experts, and certainly I don't consider myself an expert, but the people that are in the field, the researchers, view his work sort of on the fringe, and it hasn't been able to be repeated in other labs. So currently it's not accepted by other researchers in the field.
It would be nice if it were true, wouldn't it?
Oh, my gosh, it would be wonderful. And I think everybody's rooting for it to be true, if it is the case. I just don't think it's there yet.
So I guess we'll just say that needs a lot more further study before anybody embraces it, because I see people talking about it online. That's why I wanted to ask you about it, because people are out there saying, hey, you know, this is cured and it's going to be okay in a year. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. And you say, no, not at all. We have to wait and see if there's anything to it. And if it can't be duplicated elsewhere, obviously, that creates a problem. But the guy who claims this does work for a major university.
Yeah, my understanding was he was actually parted ways with that university as well. So I'm not really sure what's going on there, but it sounds really good, and a lot of people are talking about it because there was a press conference several months ago, and there was a lot of confidence behind the words that were being said. But ultimately, it's generally not supported by most researchers in the field.
All right, there you go. All right, so where do we go from here? As far as the, you know, I got one other thing I want to ask you about. And I know it has nothing to do with deer, but what about this proposal to make sandhill cranes a game species in Michigan?
Yeah, and honestly, that's outside of my program, so I haven't been following it too much. But the bottom line is that sandhill cranes, a lot of people feel that they have a huntable population in Michigan. And, you know, a lot of people look at the trajectory that they are on, and it very much aligns with where we were years ago with Canada geese.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. They're thicker than fleas on my property. I mean, they are. They're everywhere. Anyhow, Chad, I got to run. Greatly appreciate your input, as always, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me again, Steve.
There you have it. Chad Stewart, the DNR deer specialist, not a sandhill crane specialist, but, you know, everybody's got an opinion on these things. You know, we've got a whole lot to cover before we get out the door today. Some AOC, some lovely sound. Some lovely sound. We'll be right back.
You've seen the headlines. Water purity has never been more important than it is today. It's time to give yourself and your family the best water you can. Wolverine Water is Michigan's premier water treatment company and has been since 1947. Wolverine serves customers statewide, and they're ready to test your water for free. With everything you've heard, you need peace of mind. You need Wolverine Water in your free water test. Go to stevegruber.com and click on the Wolverine Water logo. That's stevegruber.com and click on the Wolverine Water logo.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Rich Dudley, President and CEO of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. For 60 years, the Chamber has been your voice in Lansing, fighting for pro-business, pro-taxpayer, pro-jobs legislation. It's been our commitment to work with lawmakers on both sides of the aisle in Lansing to create an environment that allows businesses to grow and to create a strong and thriving economy. We are member-driven and policy-focused. The Michigan Chamber represents Over 6,000 companies of all sizes and types in all 83 of Michigan's counties. Michigan Chamber members employ over 1 million Michigan residents. That's why we're focused on the mission of promoting conditions favorable to job creation, economic growth, and free enterprise.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our communities secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Michigan Army National Guard, aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.